हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे। सच्चिदानंदरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नमः। यस्माज्जातं जगत्सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। ॐ ब्रह्मविदाप्नोति परम् तदेषाभ्युक्ता सत्यं ज्ञानमनन्तं ब्रह्म यो वेद निहितं गुहायां परमे व्योमन् सोऽश्नुते सर्वान् कामान् सः ब्रह्मणा विपश्चितेति तस्माद्वा एतस्मादात्मन आकाशः सम्भूतः आकाशाद्वायुः वायोरग्निः अग्नेरापः अद्भ्यः पृथिवी पृथिव्या ओषधयः ओषधीभ्योऽन्नम् अन्नात्पुरुषः। We are still seeing the unfoldment of the meaning of the definition of Brahman, having three defining words: Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. Brahmavid Paramapnoti, the knower of Brahman accomplishes Brahman, the absolute, which itself is attainment of the absolute and the moksha. Therefore, the desire is there. What is that Brahman? We should know to accomplish the absolute. Therefore, the definition is given here by the Rig Mantra. If you have seen the meaning of the word Satyam and also Jnanam, the word Satyam has its own meaning. The word Satyam reveals Brahman in terms of its nature. Directly, it reveals Brahman as a defining, revealing word. As a defining revealer, defining adjective, the word Satyam reveals Brahman in terms of its nature of existence. It doesn't convey directly. The word Satyam is Sat in the Bhashya we understood with the quotation from Chandogya Upanishad. From Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, we understood the word Satyam means, Satyam implies Sat, the pure existence. Because the pure existence is nothing but that which is, that which obtains as the existence of everything. The pure existence is in the form of existence of everything because it is a cause of everything. The cause of everything, at the same time, it is changeless. Any cause subject to change, but it is a changeless cause. So absolute, changeless, uncaused cause of everything is in the form of pure existence, is in changeless existence. Changeless cause is implied by the term Satyam. Though it is cause, a changeless cause, still it is not of the nature of inertness, because any cause is inert, but here it is of the nature of pure knowledge. And what is implied by, directly implied by the word Jnanam is Chit, the pure knowledge. Swamiji always liked the word pure knowledge to this word consciousness. So Jnanam implies pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Even though the word Jnanam can mean any of the Triputi, any of the three aspects, know or know knowledge, here the word Jnanam does not mean the know or know knowledge. It is the Bhava Sadhana. Jnanam implies that which obtains as the very Swarupam of the know or know knowledge, being free from this threefold difference, Triputi Bheda, this Chit. So it is not limited, because the word Anantam, which comes as the definition of Brahman, implies that this pure knowledge, the pure existence, is free from all limitations. So here, these two words, Satyam and Jnanam, reveal Brahman directly in terms of its nature of existence, consciousness. Whereas Anantam reveals Brahman by negating everything which is subject to limitations. So we are going to see that today. And here, this Pura Pakshi is actually a Karma Kandi, and he talked about the irrelevance of these three words as adjectives. And the Shankara Bhagavatpada also explained the difference between ordinary Vyavartaka Viseshanani, ordinary adjectives which distinguish the substantive, the rest of the objects of a species, and also the Lakshana Viseshanani, the defining adjectives which it is distinguished vastu from everything else. You explain the difference there, we understood. And you were seeing today the Pura Pakshi's doubt. What are Pura Pakshi is there? Pura, who can be Pura Pakshi? The first Pura Pakshi we saw here is actually a Shunyavadi, in whose vision absolutely there's nothingness, there's non-existence. But because he sees these three words, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, do not reveal the reality directly. Like any adjective reveals the object, being the very attribute of the object. Tallness can reveal the tall person, being inseparable from the tall person, the person who is tall. Fat person, the word adjective can reveal the person who is fat, being inseparable from that, being and as an attribute, being inseparable from the substantive denoted. Nilotpalam or Atotpalam can distinguish the object, being inseparable from the object. The Nilam Utpalam can distinguish the lily, blue lily, from lilies of rest of the other colors. At the same time, the blue is inseparable from the very lily. Therefore, it reveals. But here, these Lakshanani, definitions, implying pure existence as changeless cause, pure knowledge. Though these words reveal their own meaning, still they do not reveal Brahman directly. They reveal the nature of reality directly, but still Brahman doesn't become revealed to us. And by even though they reveal Brahman directly in terms of its nature, they give the meanings. Brahman is the meaning in terms of its nature. Still, they also distinguish this reality implied by the term Brahman from everything else, the entirety of the world of objects. By negating, negating the attributes which are opposed to the nature of Brahman. They also reveal what Brahman is not. So Satyam distinguishes Brahman from the entirety of the world of objects, which is subject to change. And word Jnanam distinguishes Brahman from everything else, the entirety of the objective universe. Because everything in this universe is of the nature of inertness. In the objective world, everything is of the nature of inertness. Because any object itself is of the nature of inertness. So the entire objective universe being inert in its nature becomes negated as non-Brahman. So these two words reveal Brahman in terms of its nature. At the same, they also negate what Brahman is not. And Anantam, of course, distinguishes Brahman from everything else through the attribute of limitation. Everything else in this world is subject to all three limitations, possible limitations. For everything else being subject to threefold limitations, everything else in the world becomes negated as non-reality. Through negation, the word Anantam reveals Brahman, but distinguishes it from the world, which is subject to limitations. So the Shunyavadi is very clear, and he understands that these three words do imply the reality, negating through negation that what it is not. Purupakshi does not deny what these three words negate. So they imply the reality through negation. But these words do not reveal Brahman. Brahman is not like any other object. Though it is not available for experience or knowledge. Therefore, this Purapakshi comes to the conclusion, though these words only simply state what Brahman is not, still they don't reveal Brahman. Therefore, there's no such thing called Brahman. The Brahman doesn't exist. It's a shunyam. This is his view. But Shankara Bhagavatpada refutes in the sense he clarifies that Brahman is the absolute reality, which is the only existent substance. So we are going to see that today. So Purapakshi is of the view that these three defining words, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, only reveal the idea of Brahman being shunyam, non-existent. So Shankaracharya is going to dismiss his view. Let us see here. We read this objection last class itself. You remember? Okay. And he also gave three examples, remember? Three. Vandhyaputra, Vandhyasutaha Yati, Nugatrishnambhasi Snataha, Kafpushpakrita Shekharaha, Shashashringa Dhanuddharaha. He gave completely tucham, that which doesn't exist at all. These three adjectives, okay, they definitely reveal something non-existent. Vandhyaputraha, Vandhyasutaha Yati, also reveals non-existent sun. Nugatishnambhasi Snataha, the one who is bathed in the mirage water also is cannot be existent. Kavpushpakrita Shekharaha, having the sky as a flower on his head, also cannot be there. Shashashringa Dhanuddharaha, hold as one holding the bow made of rabbit's horn. Impossible. So these three expressions reveal somebody who is non-existent. This example he gives, saying that satyam jnanam anantam, three words reveal nothing. There's nothingness is there, shunyam. So we saw all this, and Shankaracharya said already, no, these three words have a status of being definitions, lakshanarthatvat. Even though they are like adjectives, still they have the status of being the definitions of Brahma. Therefore, there cannot be a definition of something non-existent. This is the first. Okay? There cannot be definition of something non-existent. Definition must be, a defining word must be defining something existent. That is the first thing he gave, first answer he gave. Thereafter, he moves on to the next word. Shunyehi lakshye anarthakam lakshana vachanam. This also we saw last class itself. Lakshana vachanam. The defining word will be meaningless, redundant, if the lakshyam, what is defined, is shunyam, non-existent. Lakshyehi shunye, shunyehi lakshye. When what is defined is non-existent, then the defining word will be meaningless, useless, non-redundant. So he said, lakshanarthatvat manyamahena sunyarthata. As these three words have the status of being definitions, we do consider that there is no shunyarthata. There's no shunyarthata. These words do not have the status of being definition of something non-existent. Is it clear? Okay. All this we have already seen. I'm just reading it. Okay. Now we come to today's class. I'm reading today. I'm just repeating because we're meeting a long break. I'm thinking how we can increase the number of this class. We'll see. Shunyehi lakshye anarthakam lakshana vachanam. Lakshanarthatvat manyamahe na shunyarthata. Okay. Definitely these words reveal something which is absolutely existent. Okay. Next, now the new class. Visheshanarthatvepi cha satyadinam swartha aparityagaha eva So what does Shankara Bhagavatpada say here? These three words, they do not only do they negate what Brahman is not, convey what Brahman is not. Each word has its own meaning. Visheshanarthatvepi. Though these words are definitions, these words, satyam jnanam anantam, are definitions, having the status of adjectives also, still, these words do not give up their meanings. Satyadinam swartha aparityagaha eva. There is non-giving up of their own meanings. The word satyam retains its own meaning, even though it also reveals what Brahman is not. Anything and everything is subject to change is not Brahman. That is revealed by the word satyam. At the same time, what is implied by the term Brahman is pure existence, a changeless cause. The changeless cause in terms of pure existence is the meaning of the word satyam. That meaning is retained. It is not given up. So, swartha aparityagaha eva. There is definitely the meaning of each word is retained. There is retention of each meaning of each word. There is not giving up. Meaning is not given up. Satyadinam. The same way jnanam. But the direct meaning of the word jnanam, what is the swartha, its own meaning of the word jnanam? The word jnanam has pure knowledge as its own meaning. Similarly, satyadinam swartha aparityagaha eva. So, the word anantam also states its own meaning of limitlessness. So, each word has its own meaning. There is non giving up of the own meanings of these words, satyam, jnanam, anantam. Therefore, their own meanings being there, the Brahman, the reality implied with the term Brahman is not shunyam. These words do not have shunyarthata. The next sentence. Shunyarthatvehi satyadi shabdanam visheshan yantrutva anupapattihi. Satyadi shabdanam shunyarthatve. Sati sattami. If these words satyam jnanam anantam, satyadi shabdanam, of these vartim etc., if there is the status of revealing something non-existent, then visheshan yantrutva anupapattihi. It is not possible for these two words to distinguish the reality. Is it clear? If the word satyam jnanam anantam conveys something non-existent, then they cannot distinguish visheshan yantrutva anupapattihi. There's impossibility of distinguishing the visesham, the substantive, the Brahman. Okay. How can they distinguish? If something is non-existent, please make a note. Something is shunyam, non-existent, nothingness is there. Nothingness need not be distinguished. Non-existent thing need not be distinguished, cannot be distinguished. Why should something non-existent be distinguished? It is not there. Something has to be distinguished when it must be existent, isn't it? Therefore, what he says, விசேஷ நியந்தத்துவ அனுபபத்தி அனுப தெர் இஸ் இம்பாசிபிலிட்டி ஆஃப் டிஸ்டிங்விஷிங் த விசேஷம் பிரம்மா ஃபார் தீஸ் வர்த்தம் ஞானந்தம் இஃப் தே ஹேவ் த ஸ்டேட்டஸ் ஆஃப் கன்வேயிங் சம்திங் நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட். ஓகே, சோ வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன்? பிரம்மன் இஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட். These words do reveal something absolutely existent. He continues. Satyadi arthaihi, satyadi arthaihi, arthavatvetu, tad viparita dharmavadbhyaha, visheshyebhyaha, brahmanaha, visheshyasya, niyantrutvam upapadyate. See, what is said, the second line is little elaborated in the third line. Same thing is conveyed. What does he say? Satyadi arthaihi, satyadi arthaihi arthavatvetu. Only when what is conveyed by these words, what revealed by these words, satyam jnanamanantam, has the status of being the meaning of these words, then tad viparita dharmavadbhyaha visheshyebhyaha brahmanaha visheshyasya niyantrutvam upapadyate. Please make a note, the word niyantrutvam has completely different meaning. Everywhere when you hear the word niyanta, niyantru shabda, ordainer, controller, Bhagavan is said to be niyanta. But here, the word niyantrutvam does not mean controlling, distinguishing. The word niyantrutvam is in the sense of distinguishing. Okay. Niyantrutvam upapadyate. It is possible for these words to be distinguishing. It is possible to distinguish the Brahman, the Visesha substantive from other substantives, all the substantives which are of the attributes opposed to its nature. Satyadi arthaihi arthavatvetu. Only if these words, satyadi, satyam jnanam anantam brahma, anathyam jnanam anantam, these three words have the meaning existent, then tad viparita dharmavadbhyaha visheshyebhyaha, from all other substantives, from all other objects which end out with the attributes opposed to the nature of Brahman, it is possible for Brahman to be distinguished from everything else. Vishesha Brahmanaha visheshyasya niyantrutvam upapadyate. It is possible for the words to distinguish Brahman from all other substantives which are of the attributes opposed to the nature of Brahma. Suppose if the satyam jnanam anantam do not have any meaning, or the meaning of these words is nothingness, shunyam, then it is not possible for him to distinguish. A non-existent thing cannot be distinguished, need not be distinguished. So it is existent, it must be existent. That is why they are capable of distinguishing. Okay. So definitely, the Brahman is not non-existent. That's the meaning here. Now, having talked about this much, now we are going to actually today's class. Now he says, what about the word Brahman itself? Now he comes to the next point. What is the word Brahma? What is implied by the word Brahma? What exactly is the meaning of the word Brahma? Is actually revealed by these three defining words, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. So it's not right to say that these three words reveal nothingness, Shunyam. No. So he says, again, the word Brahman was already the very opening word introduced in the section was Brahma, Brahmavit. Therefore, Upanishad need not open and you open its teaching. The first word, open, Brahma, something non-existent. Upanishad cannot introduce the word which is non-existent as Brahmavit. So, the word Brahma also has its own meaning. Therefore, it is not non-existent. It is not shunyam. She says, Brahma shabdaha api, Brahma shabdopi, swarthena arthavan eva. So, Brahma shabdaha na anathavan, Brahma shabdaha api, arthavan eva. Brahma shabdaha arthavan eva. Mean what? Brahma shabda does have its own meaning. The word Brahma, Brahma shabdaha, mean the word Brahma, arthavan eva. Definitely, the word Brahma definitely does have its own meaning. Swarthena, with its own meaning, it is meaningful word. So, arthena arthavan eva, double emphasis. The word Brahman also, swa arthena, with its own meaning, arthavan eva, it does have its own meaning. It is meaningful word. The word Brahman is meaningful word, and this Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam are three definitions defining the meaning of the word Brahma, then how can we say the Shunyarthata, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, these words Shunyarth, they have nothingness as their meaning. How can we say that? Definitely we cannot say. The word Brahman has its own meaning, and the meaning of the word Brahman alone is the meaning of these three words. Therefore, implied by these three words do not have shunyarthata. The meaning is not non-existent. Okay. Tatra. Now Bhagavan, Shankar Bhagavad Pada says, so the word jnanam, sorry, satyam, directly, the word satyam has its own meaning of what? Changeless cause in terms of pure existence. Then, jnanam, the word jnanam has its own meaning of pure knowledge. The truth of the knower known knowledge. The pure knowledge invariably present in all the variable pieces of knowledge, the cognitions. Or Ananta Shabda. He is going to say, talk about Ananta Shabda here. Tatra Ananta Shabda. Tatra Ananta Shabda. Antavatva Pratishedha Dwarena. Antavatva Pratisheda Dwarena. Through the Pratishedha means negation. Pratishedha. Nishedha means negation. Pratishedha dwarena. Through the negation of what? Through the negation of anything and everything having the status of being finite. Antavatva pratishedhena. Through the negation of everything having the status of being finite, ananta shabdaha, the word anantam, becomes viseshanam, a defining adjective of Brahman. So the word anantam, what is the meaning of the word anantam? Satyam. Satyam, changeless cause, the pure existence. Jnanam, pure knowledge. Anantam. No. So that's why he says, Tatra ananta shabdaha, ananta shabdaha, antavatva pratishedha dwarena viseshanam bhavati. How does the word anantam become defining adjective? How does the word anantam become definition? Katham viseshanam bhavati? Shankaracharya says here, pratishedha dwarena. Through the negation, the word anantam becomes a definition of Brahman. It reveals Brahman. The negation of what? Negation of everything and anything in this objective universe which has the status of being finite, limited by time, space and object. Antavatva pratishedha dwarena ananta shabdaha viseshanam bhavati. Why has to say this here? Because the word satyam positively reveals, positively implies the changeless cause. The word jnanam positively reveals knowledge, pure knowledge. Whereas the word anantam does not positively convey, reveal the meaning, the Brahman. But what does it do? Through the negation of everything which has a status of being finite, limited, time-wise, spatially, object-wise, it reveals Brahman. It becomes a revealing definition. Okay. Satyajnana shabdautu. Don't think I'm saying. Shankara Bhagavatpada says it. Satyajnana shabdau. Why? Satyam shabdaha. Jnanam shabdaha cha. How do you say? Satyajnana shabdau. These two words, satyam and jnanam, Swartha samarpanena eva, swartha samarpanena eva, viseshane bhavataha. So in this beautifully he says, how does the word anantam become the defining, revealing word of Brahman? How do these two words, satyam and jnanam, become the definitions of Brahman? He says, ananta shabdaha antavatva pratishedha dwarena viseshanam bhavati. I'm supplying the verb of bhavati. It becomes adjective, it becomes the definition, it reveals the reality through the negation of everything which is limited, finite. Whereas tu, whereas satyajnana shabdau, other two words satyam and jnanam, viseshane bhavataha, become the defining, revealing definitions, defining words, how sva artha samarpanena eva, by directly, positively presenting their own meanings. Sva artha samarpanena eva, by offering, by submitting, by presenting their own meanings, they do become the defining adjectives or definitions. So what does Sankalpapada want to say? He says, how can this person, the Pura Pakshi, comes to the conclusion or has this view, three words, you know, define nothing. They negate what Brahman is not. When he accepts that they do negate what Brahman is not, then Brahman must be something. If they distinguish means the defining words cannot distinguish something non-existent. A non-existent thing cannot be defined. Therefore, all this he states, Sankalpapada says, so first of all, Brahma Asti. Brahma Asti. This absolute reality, abstract reality, implied by the term Brahman, does exist. It is there. Why does doubt come? Why does this doubt come? This doubt comes because this reality is not available for experience, not available for knowledge, recognition. It is not available for experience, not available for description, not available for thought conception, not available for sense perception, not at all available for experience. It is not even an object. Therefore, it is easy for anyone to come to the conclusion, such a thing doesn't exist. Why it's not available for experience? You're going to understand gradually here. This reality, Brahman, being self-evident, it is not available for experience. A self-evident thing cannot be available for experience. Again, just because it is not available for experience, it should not be mistaken for non-existent. That is what big mistake we all do. Our conclusion, the Shunyavadi's conclusion, is that if something is not available for experience, enjoyment, then it is non-existent. The non-existence is determined because of its non-availability for experience. Why available? Because it is not available for experience, because this reality is there as the very swarupam of the experiencer. That because of which the mind functions cannot be an object of mind, thought, an object of knowledge. That because of which any knowledge is possible, the source of knowledge cannot be the object of knowledge. That which the sense organs function cannot be object of perception. That because of which the words come themselves emerge cannot be the object of description. that which is the very truth of word, truth of sense organs, truth of mind. That is why we say Mahadevaha. Bhagavan is said to be Mahadevaha, Devadevaha, Mahadevaha, because Bhagavan is Lord of mind. Bhagavan is Hrishikesha because he is Lord of senses. Bhagavan is Vagadeshaha, he is a Lord of speech. Therefore, the truth of everything looked upon as Ishvara is not available for experience, knowledge. Therefore, it is easy for people to come to the conclusion that it is non-existent. Not being available for experience, not being available for enjoyment, should not be mistaken for non-existent. If that is why Shastram itself plays the role of a pramanam. That vastu which cannot be known through any pramanam is revealed by the Upanishad pramanam. Upanishad has the status of being the pramanam. Pramanyam it has because the subject matter of Shastram is Brahma. Therefore, Brahman is not shunyam. Okay. And where is available? That Brahma. Why it is that? Tad Brahma we say. As long as Brahman is not known, what is revealed, conveyed, implied by the term Brahman being, as long as it is not known, as though it is something other than you, is that Brahma, that absolute reality, ultimate truth of the entirety of everything that is here, entirety of the cosmos, being all pervasive, is there as the truth of the you, the experiencer, the truth of every individual experiencer. So reality is available in the Swarup of every experiencer obtaining in every individual mind. Therefore, that all-pervasive reality, which is of the nature of infinitude, is implied by the term Brahma, being available for recognition, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, is also implied by another term, Atma. So Atma, what is implied by the term Atma, is the same reality in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness. The same reality is implied by the term Brahma in terms of its nature of being limitlessly, incomparably big. Incomparable, limitless bigness. There are two different things. Therefore, Upanishad. Now, the following sentence, we're going to see, Shaka Bhagavatpada says, Brahma, the word Brahma is implied by the word Atma, and it's available for the Brahman, is available for recognition, not as an object, but as the very swarupam of the experiencer knower, subject of knowledge, implied the term Atma. Therefore, he says, now the quickly Upanishad changes. In the place of Brahma, Upanishad herself uses the term Atma. So we'll see the next verse, next sentence. Tasmadva etasmadatmana. When Shankar Bhagavatpada uses this word, don't worry. Oh my God, we still have not understood Yove Dhanigi Danguhayam. Don't worry. Long, big, beautiful unfoldment is going to come later on. But here, why in the place of the word Brahma, the word Atma is used by the Upanishad? Because the self-evident reality implied by the term Brahma is not available as an object, It is available as the truth of the experiencer. Therefore, the word Atma is used here by the Upanishad. Tasmadva etasmadatmanaha. So from that Brahman, which alone is there as the innermost essence, implied by the term Atma. And from that Atma, which is Brahman, this space came into existence. Upanishad is going to say later on. So, Shankara Bhagavatapada does not explain that mantra. What he wants to show is, see, the word Brahma is, what is, the meaning of the word Brahman is actually the meaning of the word Atma also. That's what he wants to say. The meaning of the word Brahman, being the meaning of the word Atma, is shown by Shankara Bhagavatapada here. Because Upanishad uses the word Atma in the place of Brahman. Upanishad wants to say, from that absolute reality Brahman, the whole world came into existence. Everything here has come into existence from that Brahman. Upanishad says this. Upanishad wants to say this. Instead of saying from that Brahman, everything has come into existence. Upanishad says, from that Brahman, which is this Atma, this universe, everything has come into existence. Understand? So, Upanishad already shows what? Jiva Swarupa, Jiva Brahma Swarupa Aikyam. It's already Mahavakyam. Tasmat va etasmat atmanaha means tat brahma yeshaha atma. That Brahman alone is this nearest self. That Brahman means the only one and the only truth of the entirety of the cosmos. Every being in this world is the truth of the innermost essence of every individual being. The truth of everything is one and the same. Tad Brahma, Yeshaha Atma. Yeshaha Atma, Tad Brahma. Means what? Jiva Brahma Swarupa Aikyam. Essentially, every Jiva is the reality implied by Atma, which is Brahman. Therefore, why should he say, don't think what is defined by these three words, Satyam, Yam, Anantam, Brahma, is Shunyam. It is not Shunyam. It is the Brahma, which is also said to be Atma, which is there as the Swarupma of every individual. Okay. So, tasmatva etasmat atmanaha iti brahmani eva atma shabda prayogat. Okay, brahmani eva atma shabda prayogat. In brahmani eva, brahmani is locative case. Brahmani eva, brahmanyeva. What does it mean? In the place of the word Brahma, Atma Shabda Prayogat, as there is the use of the word Atma. Brahmani Eva Atma Shabda Prayogat, as there is use of the word Atma in the place of the word Brahma, what is revealed? Vedituhu Atma Eva Brahma. Very nice. Brahmakyam Vedituhu Atma Eva Brahma. It is all pervasive, absolute, abstract reality of the entirety of the cosmos implied by the term Brahman is Atma, the very self of Vedita. See, Vedita is a Rikaranta Pullinga Shabda. Veditru Shabda. Veti. Veti is the verb. Vedita. You can say Vedita also, but here Vedita. Vedita is a nominative case form of Veditru Shabda. Rikarantaha Pullingaha Veditru Shabda. Tasya Shabdasya Pratama Vibhaktau Vedita iti Rupam. Shashti Vibhaktau Vedituhu iti Rupam. So Vedituhu Atma Eva Brahma means what? Brahman is the very self of the knower, experiencer, the subject of knowledge. Vedita, nominative case. Vedituhu Atma Eva Brahma. Vedituhu Atma Eva Brahma means what? The very self, the very swarupam, the very truth, the very content of the knower is Brahma. You can say H2O is the Atma of wave. What does it mean? There cannot be wave without water. Water is the Atma of wave. I mean the truth of wave. The truth of the wave with reference to ocean is the what is all pervasive. Similarly, here, this unknown, abstract, formless, absolute reality is all pervasive, spatially limitless, time-wise limitless, omnipresent limitless, all pervasive reality, obtaining as the truth of every being, everything that is here, is implied with the term Atma. Apnoti sarvamiti atma. It's all pervasive, therefore it is implied with the term Atma. There's no word which can reveal reality directly. Every word reveals reality in terms of its given nature. The word Atma reveals reality in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness. So the reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. The word obtains as the innermost essence, the truth of everything that is here. Therefore, Vedituhu Atma, you know, Vedyasya Atma, Vedanasya Atma, Vedituhu Atma, the only truth of everything is this Brahman only. So, Vedituhu Atma Eva Brahma, what is Brahma? The absolute reality is the very self, very truth, the very content of the knower experiencer. How do you say? Brahmaneva Atma Shabda Prayogat. So Shankara Bhagavatpada has not yet gone to the unfoldment of those mantras. Okay, he's still explaining, he's still establishing that no, Satyam Jnanam Anantam do not have Shunyarthata. Brahman is not Shunyam. Brahman is the very Vastu. Brahman is very is there as the Atma. Because Upanishad herself uses the word Atma in the place of Brahma. If Brahman uses the word Atma in the place of Brahma, what does it mean? Brahman is the very Atma of the Vedita. Vedituhu Atma eva Brahma. So, denying the existence of Brahman is what? Denying the existence of one's own self. Understand? Denying the existence of the reality, Brahman, is denying the existence of one's own self. Now what he says, he quotes that sentence. When the Rig Mantra ends, the following mantra is Taittiriya Upanishad mantra. That comes, Tasmadva etasmad atmana akashasambhutaha. In the context of presenting this absolute reality, Brahman, as the cause of the universe, When Upanishad presents the indirect definition of Brahman, Tatasthalakshanam, Upanishad presents Brahman as the cause of the universe. In that context, Upanishad says, from that absolute reality, Brahma, which is this Atma, this space has come into existence. That is not important. What is important here? Brahman is, the use of the word Atma is in the place of the word Brahman. Brahmani. Brahma shabdasya sthane Atma shabda prayogahasti. Brahmani eva Atma shabda prayogate. As there is a use of the word Atma in the place of the word Brahman, Atma, Brahman is none other than the very self of the Vedita. Knower, Vedituhu Atma eva Brahma. So you are the one, you want to know who Brahma, what Brahman is, and you are here denying the existence. I start talking about the existence. You are here. You cannot say you are not here. You are very much here. You are here means what? And you are the knower. You can't deny that you are the knower. When you are here as the knower, and your own Swarupam is Brahma. So this absolute reality, Brahman, being the very Swarupam of the knower, it is not available for experience as an object. Therefore, it should not be mistaken as shunyam. Okay. Then he quotes another sentence from the same section, the same, later on, the same second chapter. Yetamanandamayamatmanamupasankramati. Is also the last anuvaka we come across this word, sentence. Iticha atmatam darshayati. The Shankara Bhagavatpada does not want to explain this sentence. He only quotes this sentence to show that Brahman has the status of being the Atma. Brahman alone enjoys the status of being the innermost essence. Brahman alone enjoys the status of being the very truth, very self of the know, every knower. So, yetam anandamayam atmanam upasankramati. What does it mean? So here, this Atma, this absolute reality Brahman, obtaining as the innermost essence, is going to be understood as something which is distinct from even Anandamaya Kosha. It transcends even the Anandamaya Kosha. Now, so Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya is Anandamaya. The last layer of personality. So what is Brahman? Brahman is not any of the koshas. Brahman is distinct, even distinct from it transcends even the Anandamaya Kosha. What is it which transcends the Anandamaya Kosha? The innermost essence, the all-pervasive reality, innermost essence, implied with Atma. What is that Atma? Brahman. Brahman and Atma are one and the same. Already, tasmadva etasmat. By stating this, already Upanishad reveals Jiva Brahma Aikyam. You're going to say there's no Jiva later on. We're going to understand that. Okay. So what he wants to say, what is that which transcends the Anandamaya Kosha, Anandamaya Atma? That which transcends the Anandamaya Kosha is the Atma. Abstract reality. implied with the term Atma. What's that Atma? Brahma. So this all pervasive infinite reality implied by the term Brahman alone, Atmatam. Brahman has the status of being the Atma iti darshayati. Here Upanishad shows. So Shankara Bhagavatpada shows that Upanishad shows that Brahman has the status of being the Atma. I mean, Brahman is in the form of Atma, the Swarupam of the knower. Therefore, Brahman is not Shunyam. Hatyam Yam Anantam, Anantam, the three defining words do not have Shunyarthata. Iticha Atmatam Darshayati. Atma, Brahman alone is there as the very truth of every being that he shows. Again, we have another mantra. The same, we're going to see all these mantras. We have yet to learn, yet to study. Of course, we have studied these Upanishad, all these mantras in our Moola Grantha study. When we studied, already we learned explanation of all these mantras thoroughly many years ago. According to very well, we learned this. So we remember the mantras. That is why Bhashya Patanam should not be done without having done the Moola Grantha Patanam. Without having done this, without having studied the original text once, one should not do the study of Bhashya. One should study the text with the Bhashyam only after having thoroughly studied the text. Because you saw the quote, there will be quotes. So you'll be confused. Oh, what does it mean? So it's appropriate for them to present all these quotes, quotations. So which means we have already know, we have learnt. We did study these mantras. Now there's the Anupravesha Shruti. You know the Anupravesha Shruti? The Shruti, the Vedic statement, which presents the as though entry of Paramatma as Jivatma. Isn't it? The Anupravesha Shruti. There also, what implies, what is implied is that Brahman alone, having created this universe, entered into this creation. So what does it mean? Upanishad talks about not non-existent thing cannot be the source of creation and cannot be the innermost essence of the creation also, if it is non-existent. So all these quotes mentioned presents just to say Brahman is not non-existent. So this all for us, what's called? You know, sthanu nikhanana nyaya. In Shastram, we have sthanu nikhanana nyaya. When you understand something, our understanding must be firm, doubt-free. So dig, make a hole, put the pole, the stump there, and then if you move, it will move. Don't let it move. What you should do? Put more stones, put more sand, and hit it, pour water, hit it, and again shake and see whether it's moving or not. If it's shaking, again pour more stones and more water, I mean more sand, more soil, and again hit it and see it becomes firm. So understanding must become firm. Because once the firm understanding is there, clear understanding is there, then you can dwell upon the firm understanding. Isn't it? That is why Bhashya Patanam is for clarifying all possible doubts. See, you would not have had such a doubt whether Brahman exists or not. Such a thing is possible to exist. We would not have thought of, oh, whatever Upanishad says, we'll accept. No. there is a Shunyavadi, there is somebody who thinks differently, even if he is wrong. So here comes the question. So Shankara Bhagavatpada himself presents a Shunyavadi's doubt. There were people, so he himself presents and he clarifies the doubts. By way of seeing the doubt and the clarification, we become, you know, reinforced with a proper understanding. Okay. Tat praveshat cha. Not only Brahman is there as the innermost essence, as the very surup of the knower, he says tat praveshat cha. There's also as though entry of Brahman. Tat praveshat means tasya brahmanaha praveshat cha. Brahman is all pervasive. Therefore, Brahman cannot move. How can Brahman enter? There's no real entry. There's as though entry of all pervasive reality Brahman discussed in the Shastram Upanishad. Which means that as though entry of Brahman is discussed also means you cannot talk about the entry of something non-existent. It is existent. He says, tat praveshat cha. So praveshaha means what? Praveshaha is nothing but manifestation. Okay. There is all living beings. In all the living beings, we understand the knowledge being manifest. We can't see pure knowledge through physical eyes. We can't see the knowledge through our eyes. But we can understand the knowledge being manifest. That knowledge is manifest means there is life. There are functions. There's order. There's knowledge back in the order. The knowledge is what? Brahma. That knowledge is available. Brahman is available for understanding in the form of manifest knowledge, backing the order, involved in functions, because of which life is possible. Well, he says, tat srishtva tad eva nupravishati. Tat Brahma, that Brahma, having created this, created, tadeva anupravishat, it has entered into that. That Brahman, having created, entered. Iti cha, tasya eva jiva rupena Shaira Pravesham Darshayati. So the Upanishad mantra shows that Brahman alone. Upanishad shows the entry of Brahman into the body as Jiva. Jiva Rupena, in the form of Jiva. Shaira Pravesham, the entry into the body, entry into the body in the form of Jiva of the Brahman, Upanishad shows. Means Upanishad shows the entry into the body, entry of Brahman into the body as Jiva, in the form of a Jiva. Therefore, what? Vedituhu Swarupam Brahma. What is Brahma? Brahman alone has entered into the Jiva, entered into the body as Jiva. There's no Jiva at all. Jiva is a temporary qualification attributed to the Atma Brahma. Vedituhu Swarupam Brahma. The Swarupam, the very truth of the knower is Brahma. Because Upanishad shows the entry of Brahman into the body as Jiva, in the form of a Jiva. So what now? Jiva is Brahma. It's against Mahavakyam, isn't it? Indirectly revealed here. Jiva is Brahma. Brahman is not Jiva, but Jiva is nothing but Brahma. So what? Brahman is non-existent, not non-existent. Brahman is not shunyam. The meaning of the three words is not shunyam. They do not have shunyarthata. Okay. Tat srishtva tadeva anupravishat iti cha. Tasyeva jivaru, tasyeva brahmanaha jivarupena sharira pravesham darshayati. So who has entered into the body? Brahma. The question comes, oh my God, can Brahman enter into the body? Don't worry about all those things. We are going to understand what the entry, what the actual the entry means. We are going to see that. By stating that Brahman has entered into the body as Jiva, what Upanishad wants to convey is the all-pervasive reality is there pervading everything. Therefore, it is there as the truth of every individual being, the Swarupma of the knower, in the most essence of every being. Therefore, it is not possible to say that Brahman is non-existent. It is inappropriate to say it is non-existent. Atyam jnanamanantam, words do not have shunyarthata. Tat praveshatcha. Tat srishtva, tat srishtva, tadeva anupravishat. Iti cha tasya eva jiva rupena sharira pravesham darshayati. Ataha vedituhu swarupam brahma. Now already it must become very clear. We already learnt it. When we did the Moola Grantha Patanam, we did all, we understood. So vedituhu swarupam brahma, vedituhu atma brahma. Okay. Brahman is the Atma of Vedita, Swarupma of Vedita. Swarupma of the knower means Brahma. What is implied by the term Brahman, the abstract, formless, all-pervasive, absolute reality is the very truth of I, the knower. So being the truth of the knower, it will not be available for experience as an object. Being the Swarupma of the knower is not available for experience as an object. Because it is not available for experience as an object, it should not be mistaken for non-existent. It should not be mistaken for shunyam. Okay. Now, don't think you have crossed Hatyam Yamanantam Brahma. Still, we are still going to, still in understanding the unfoldment of the meanings of the word Hatyam Yamanantam. We are going to have better understanding of enhanced understanding of the word jnanam to tomorrow's class. So please remember, where are we? We're still seeing the meanings of the definition of Brahma, the defining words Brahma, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. We are not gone any further. Brahma vidha apnoti param tadesha bhyukta satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om shanti 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 harihi om tat sat shri gurubhyo namaha. Harihi Om. Simply by reading this, you can see the Sanskritam is very expressive. One sentence is enough to get exactly what is conveyed.